When I say that's the Holy Ghost, it's because sometimes we attribute a person with a gift. And I can tell you, the person without the gift is an average person. The person with the gift is operating under the anointing. And that's what Christianity is to become. Is to become. It's not there yet. It's on the way. Would you close your eyes and lift up your hands to the Lord? Say, Holy Spirit, I need my eyes open, my ears open, to realize what your Holy Spirit is about to speak to me. I want it to go in. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And we're going to be touching on chapter 8 and 9. And I'd like to kind of look at chapter 9, verse 6 first. Because there's a promise that's involved, and sometimes we kind of poo-poo it away. But when I was communicating with someone yesterday, I said, your bank account in heaven is depleted. And you're knocking basically on God's door, and his bank is saying, don't try to cash a check right now. It's going to bounce. I didn't say those words, but that was the impression I had. Because this individual is a part-time giver. You know what a part-time giver is? They plant seeds when they feel like it. And I've been there. Rather than being a consistent giver, and you're expecting the results of a consistent giver, yet you are a part-time giver. And that's not what God wants. He wants you and I to be faithful. Amen. With everything that we get. Now, I get a Social Security check. And if the government wasn't paying back what I invested in, notice again, I invested. Mm-hmm. If I didn't invest, I wouldn't get a check at the end of the month. Why? You don't put anything in? Thank you. We've got people who sow sparingly, and they expect to reap abundantly. So again, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. In other words, it's a decision you and I make. You say, well, I can't afford. I can't afford not to give.
Come on, you're preaching.
Because if I don't give, there's nothing in my account.
Amen.
And I am saying, God, oh, please bless me. Well, you know what he's going to say? Huh, are you really mine?
Come on.
Are you really mine? And you know, people are expecting God to do something that his law says is different. Mm-hmm. There's a rule here. There's a law here involved. I planted some tomato plants 2 weeks ago. They are now this high, and I noticed that there's a few that have a nice little yellow flower. What happened after the yellow flower?
Fruit.
Yeah, no kidding. I noticed the fruit yesterday when I went to water them. Why do I water them? They want nourishment. Urine's in my bank account in heaven. If it's got nothing in, don't expect to cash a check and get something out. And blame God for it. You know, and if you do it with the wrong motives, because I've done it with the wrong motives. And you know what? God sits back and says, I'll cash your check when I'm ready.
Come on.
Why? Because you're a part-timer. Verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Notice he says he's able, but he might shut you down. Because he might say, you've got the wrong motive in your heart. You're out of step with me. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply an increase in your store of seeds. You say, well, what has that got to do with me? How many of you have a small savings account? How many of you have got a large savings account? Well, I guess you all qualify for small. I didn't see anybody got the hand up for a large one. If you and I have in the heavenly account a large amount, when there's a crisis that takes place, you will be able to cash in.
Yes, you will.
And go to the heavenlies and say, Father, I need help.
Come on.
Okay? And he will be able to bless you. Because what? You have been faithful in the small things. He will be faithful to give you more.
Yes, he shall. Yes, he shall.
In 1977, the Holy Spirit began to change me. I was 37 years old. I would give of myself, of what I had, and if there were people that had needs, I would make sure that they were blessed. I did that all my life. Oh, God, please. This is not a corner I've ever divulged. Just close your eyes right now. I want to make sure this is God and not me advertising, because if I'm advertising, I'm in trouble with God. God gave me a vision yesterday. Both my parents were alcoholics. And my father had hardening of the arteries of the brain because of an accident that happened in 1959. He fell down a flight of stairs because he had too much alcohol and too much drugs in his body. So in order to avoid hurting himself in the staircase, in his half-drunken state, he jumped the rest of the way and he hit his forehead on the wall over the staircase. It took my mom and I to get an ambulance to find him at the bottom of the stairs, laid out in a pool of blood. And he ended up in Bay State Medical Center in the ICU. And he almost died because he had blood clots on the brain and he had cracked skulls in three places. He was the man that brought me up, and I loved him with all my heart. Did I understand what he had done? No. This was actually 5 months before I got married. Everything in me fell apart. All my plans had to be put on hold. The doctor said to me, this man should not be alive. But he continued to live. He baffled the wise because God miraculously allowed him to live. Several weeks after the accident, I was coming down the stairs from my bedroom, and I happened to look up, which normally you look at the stairs. And I saw that wall, and there was the blood spattered, which meant that he had jumped, and when he jumped, his forehead hit into the wall. From that, he ended up with hardening of the arteries of the brain, and as he got older and older, at one point he lost all his abilities to think and conceive and go forward. He was able to go back to work, but later on was put on disability because he could not function correctly due to this injury. But we'd forget the injury because it had been so many years. You know, you forget. Why? Because of his bad choices that continued. When I ran into 1977, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I read a book called Prison to Praise. And I began to thank the Lord for my dad the way he was. I wanted him different because I was hurting so bad. Got anybody that you'd like to see different? Thank the Lord for the way they are. So I began to thank Jesus for my dad just the way he was. And I would tell the Lord, you know what, God? I don't like what he's doing. He said, it's not what he's doing that's the problem. It's you. You're trying to control him so that you'll feel better.
Amen.
So it was all about what?
Me.
So I was serving me, myself, and I. Three wonderful little gods. We worship there quite often. So what did God do? God allowed for him to come to Jesus, and he got born again.
Amen.
He was delivered from arthritis that was so bad that they had threatened to put a fusion of brass down his spine because he was actually curling. He would wake up in the middle of the night, and he would go on his fours to get to the bathroom because he couldn't walk. But God delivered him completely here in Chicopee. There was a wonderful healing service that happened in a lady's backyard. And the pastor went up and he asked for a great big waste paper basket, if you wish. And he told everybody, if you have a problem with your body, and if you've got some idols that you've been worshiping and you've sent out for some bracelets or rings or whatever to get healed, he said, that basket right now is the container where you put all those idols. And I watched my dad. He had bought some of those copper bracelets because of the arthritis in his body. It was everywhere. And my dad walked down that center aisle. They had put chairs in the backyard. And he dumped, and those were $35 per bracelet. He dumped those two bracelets, and when he walked back, he was totally free. Because he didn't worship at that altar anymore. So, all this to say, I watched this with my own eyes. I remember the next day, my dad called me. He says, do you have any work for me to do? I feel great. I don't have any pain. I've had no painkillers. No swelling in my body. My joints are free. I can move my fingers, my hands, my knees, my back. It doesn't hurt. It's not curling anymore. I slept all night. I didn't even have to get up. Why? Because God had a plan. When it was time to give, my father also went to that other basket and he put some money in. What am I saying to you all this? Because I had to learn that God was a giver. But I had to have something in my account. And I had learned to give. Was I being faithful? To the best of my ability and to the best of my thinking at the time. Quite a few years later, my dad had spent everything he had. I can only say that it was a difficult watch to see him go back into bad choices. Because he went backwards. He fell. And at one point, he did some bartering because his brain was not functioning right. And he ended up giving up a beautiful car, sold it for almost nothing because it was a bright idea at the moment because his mind was gone. And a few weeks later, he calls me and he says, your mom and I would like to buy a car, but we don't have any money. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? And the Holy Spirit gave me a vision. When I was 16 or 15, whatever, my father had bought a 20-year endowment. And it was paid up. Almost. It was paid up. And the Lord said, go cash that in and take out the money of your life insurance and you buy him a car. Just the other day, there's a little tiny bit left over that maybe if I die tomorrow, I get you $300 and something. And they keep telling me if you reinvest, and I've never had the nudge to do so, to pay up the loan on that insurance. But I said, Lord, he said, did you realize what I saw when you gave up your life insurance to purchase a car for your drunken dad and your broken dad? And I said, Lord, because I saw that, you know, that whole scenario went through me yesterday. He said, why do you think I've blessed you? Because you gave up what you had so that someone that was worse than you could be blessed and picked up by you. Mm-hmm. Not looking for somebody else to bless them, but looking to you. What can you do? What can I do? Oh, God, I know I'm preaching. Some of you have said no to God. And your investment is weird. It's weird because of your mixed up thinking. Go back to this word. If you don't put seeds in the ground, you get nothing. If I didn't plant those tomato plants, I wouldn't have flowers. It's simple. It's not complicated. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So it's also connected before you're standing in front of God and saying, oh yes, I know that I'm righteous because I've obeyed what you've called me to do. I didn't try to figure out if I was dead in a day, who would bury me. What am I saying? I'm saying that you think that you rationalize from fear instead of from trust. You rationalize from I haven't got to what you should be saying is I've invested. My account is in okay condition before God and I can draw on it. Verse 11. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous in every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God, not thanksgiving to you. Mm-hmm. Verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the need of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself. How did I prove myself? Because I still have the receipts today. Every year they send me a copy of the loan. Why? It's a reminder. I believe God is just reminding me. Yes, you gave. The car is long gone. Car's not important. What the need that they needed was supplied through not somebody else, but through what he had already given to me. Because of my service by which I have proved myself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanied my confession. Did you notice I changed the words right now? I'm trying to tell you I can wear what I've spoken. And I can prove it. Not just before God, but before men. And of the gospel of good news of Christ. For your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his incredible gift. You say, what has that got to do with apples and how am I going to survive when I seemingly have nothing? You better check your list of what you do have.
Come on.
Some of you have got time and you use it for yourself. Some of you have got abilities to give out to the community, to those that are more broken than you. But you waste your time in front of a TV set and you worship at that place where it's comfortable.
Amen.
I've seen it. I've done it. Instead of taking quality time with the Word, you take quality time to gossip about everybody in the neighborhood and how wonderful and how awesome things are for everyone else but you. You heard that one. Everyone gets blessed but you. And self-pity sets in. I can tell you that when I got off the throne of self-pity about my parents and gave thanks for the way they were, God began to change them and he healed them both. Today, they're in the heavenlies waiting for me. Why? Because there was a space of obedience that he gave me and the grace to carry it out. I couldn't have done it without his grace. And I know that he was faithful to me. And I know he's been faithful to me. Verse 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trials, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also the completion to this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, See that you also excel in this grace of giving. In other words, it's not a punishment to give, it's a grace to give. It is unmerited favor that you're storing up for yourself in the heavenly account. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. Wow. Do I love them and do I love God enough to put something in his hands for a rainy day? How many of you have ever put something in God's hand and said, God, you can do whatever you want? Thank you. I'll rest with that because you see, when my mother entered the nursing home, after she broke her hip. How many know nursing homes are not cheap?
Amen.
Okay? She was there for 3 months. Off and on, in and out. Back to the hospital, into the hospital, back and out, so on and so forth. After her funeral, which I had money set aside for that, the bill came in for the nursing home,
and the hospital fees for the period of almost 4 months. Anybody got a clue how much it was?
$12,000.
My share out of her finances, the number is not important. Because the number is not important. I'm not trying to make you focus on that. This was my share. $15 at the end. Everything was paid for. Why? Because the one who's in charge had some money of mine and money of hers set aside for that day.
Come on.
It wasn't by flesh and blood that things were paid for. It was a coordinate of the Lord overruling the insurances. Now, how many of you have heard me talk about this subject?
Money?
Money.
No.
Why? Because I hate it. I hate it because, you know, it's looking as though I'm trying to lift myself up. I'm trying to give you an example today to wake up and put something in the account.
Come on.
I'm trying to tell you, be honest before God, because He's looking at you. He's making choices and you're out of step. The vision confirms it. So some of you need to adjust. You say, Kim, is the church in need of money? No, but you're in need of giving.
Come on, amen.
That's what's the issue. You and I are looking at the account and we're saying, oh my God, there's hardly nothing left. Oh my God, help me. Well, help him and he'll help you.
Amen, amen.
Take out what he tells you to take out. Give what you can. Close your eyes right now because I got to shut. I got to stop. Say, Father, let this anointing,
Father, let this anointing
of giving,
show me what to do.
Give me the grace to carry it out.
Give me the grace to carry it out.
So that your glory,
so that your glory
will not be taken in by me. I don't want the glory, but I do want some money. In my bank account. Because your bank
is an eternal bank.
It'll be there for eternity.
And I
will be gaining wisdom when I trust you with everything I have. It's not 10% that you need.
It's
100%
of me.
And of everything that I have.
And I will obey.
And open my heart.
Not because of compulsion
or coercion,
but obedience to Him.
Amen?
Amen.
And amen.